The Cheyenne camp lay in a horseshoe bend of Sand Creek, north of an almost dry stream bed. Black Kettle's teepee was near the center of the village, with White Antelope's and War Bonnet's people to the west. On the east side, and slightly separated from the Cheyennes, was Left Hand's Arapaho camp. Altogether, there were about 600 Indians in the creek bend, two-thirds of them being women and children. Most of the warriors were several miles to the east hunting buffalo for the camp, as they had been told to do by Major Anthony. So confident were the Indians of absolute safety, they kept no night watch except of the pony herd which was corralled below the creek. The first warning they had of an attack was about sunrise, the drumming of hooves on the sand flats. "I was sleeping in a lodge," Edmund Guerrier said. "I heard at first some of the squaws outside say there were a lot of buffalo coming into camp. Others said they were a lot of soldiers." Guerrier immediately went outside and started toward Gray Blanket Smith's tent. George Bent, who was sleeping in the same area, said that he was still in his blankets when he heard shouts and the noise of people running about the camp. From down the creek, a large body of troops was advancing at a rapid trot. More soldiers could be seen making for the Indian pony herds to the south of the camps. In the camps themselves, all was confusion and noise. Men, women, and children rushing out of the lodges partly dressed. Women and children screaming at sight of the troops. Men running back into the lodges for their arms. I looked toward the chief's lodge and saw that Black Kettle had a large American flag tied to the end of a long lodge pole and was standing in front of his lodge holding the pole with the flag fluttering in the gray light of the winter dawn. I heard him call to the people not to be afraid, that the soldiers would not hurt them. Then the troops opened fire from two sides of the camp. Meanwhile, young Guerrier had joined Gray Blanket Smith and Private Louderback at the trader's tent. Louderback proposed we should go out and meet the troops. We started. Before we got outside the edge of the tent, I could see soldiers beginning to dismount. I thought they were artillerymen and were about to shell the camp. I had hardly spoken when they began firing with their rifles and pistols. When I saw I could not get to them, I struck out. I left the soldier and Smith. Louderback halted momentarily, but Smith kept moving ahead toward the cavalryman. "Shoot the damned old son of a bitch," a soldier shouted from the ranks. "He's no better than an Indian." At the first scattered shots, Smith and Louderback turned and ran for their tent. Smith's half-breed son, Jack, and Charlie Bent had already taken cover there. By this time, hundreds of Cheyenne women and children were gathering around Black Kettle's flag. Up the dry creek bed, more were coming from White Antelope's camp. After all, had not Colonel Greenwood told Black Kettle that as long as the United States flag flew above him, no soldier would fire upon him? White Antelope, an old man of 75, unarmed, his dark face seamed from sun and weather, strode toward the soldiers. He was still confident that the soldiers would stop firing as soon as they saw the American flag and the white surrender flag which Black Kettle had now run up. Medicine Calf Beckworth, riding beside Colonel Chivington, saw White Antelope approaching. "He came running out to meet the command," Beckworth later testified, holding up his hands and saying, "Stop! Stop!" "He spoke it in as plain English as I can. He stopped and folded his arms until shot down." Survivors among the Cheyennes said that White Antelope sang the death song before he died. Nothing lives long, only the earth and the mountains.